First thing accomplished. Hashtag to the next one. Hashtag Rip City on their ass.
You are locked on Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd, and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter, as always, at redrock_bball. We are doing a preview today of Tuesday's 13-game NBA slate, so getting straight into the DFS stuff, and then back tomorrow with our regularly scheduled programming with seasonal and DFS stuff. Congratulations if you did win your championship over the weekend. Good luck if you're still continuing in the finals. Good luck with your roto leagues that are continuing. Good luck with your DFS stuff. And let's get stuck straight into this stuff. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
All right, we will get straight into it. Recording this one, what's the time? About 7 p.m. Eastern on Monday. So some news stuff could come out after I record this, but we'll talk about all the injury situations that we are unaware of at the time of recording and go through potential situations and how things could change there. Of course, you can check out all the what-if scenarios over on Basketball Monster, of course, where we look at how the minutes and all that sort of stuff will play out given certain injury scenarios. The first game we're going to look, again, this is a 13-game slate. We're deep into resting/tanking season. It is a shit DFS slate. I'll put that out there now. Anything in April is tough to play DFS-wise. Anything that goes over 11 games is tough to play. Put those two together and you're in a really, really tough spot. So really be careful with what you're putting out there DFS-wise. There is a lot of uncertainty, a lot of weirdness, a lot of bullshit minutes limits, restings, weird performances. So just really pay attention to this. It might seem counterproductive to what I do in terms of putting out these podcasts, but this is not a good time to be playing DFS. And you know my thoughts on seasonal leagues, that they should not be continuing at this point of the season. Let's get into this first game. It is the Toronto Raptors at the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavs are favored by 1.5 and the total is 223.5. There's a couple of injury situations we need to pay attention to in Cleveland, and that's Kyle Korver and Georgie Hill. Korver obviously missed a bunch of time due to his brother's death and is now dealing with foot issues, while George Hill missed the last game with an ankle sprain. If Hill and Korver both miss, it's a bump for a guy like Jose Calderon, a little bit for the plumber J.R. Smith. Jeff Green also gets that bump up there. But really, those guys, Calderon, Smith, and Green, are more just your GPP type of guys rather than lock-in cash sort of players. At least with this game here, both these teams, they're still sort of jockeying for position. No, well, maybe not necessarily the Raptors. They're pretty much locked into the one seed, but we haven't really seen Dwayne Casey limit players any extra recently than what he's done all season when he's been judicious with the use of the bench. At point guard, we're looking at Freddie VanVleet at 4,700. We know the standard narrative of point guards against the Cavs. That's switched a little bit recently since the additions and the removal of Isaiah Thomas. Guys like George Hill, who may not be playing, have really improved that defense against point guard. So it's not quite as lucrative as what it was before. VanVleet at 4,700 doesn't super appeal to me. And George Hill at 4,000. Well, we don't know if he's going to play. He could very easily pop off, but it is a negative matchup against the Raptors, and he's been so inconsistent that you could only consider him as a tournament guy. As for Lowry at 7,900, not a superb record against the Cavs, a 34-point average over his last three games, but not a terrible guy to look at. There are going to be better point guard options out there, though. Well, DeLon Wright at 4,100, that's just too expensive. For the shooting guards, Jordy Clarkson's at 45. All about Clarko. If George Hill is out, for me to say I'm happy with Clarkson in cash is not a regular occurrence, but I would be using him in cash if George Hill is missing. Well, Rocket Rodney Hood and J.R. Smith, the plumber, they're at 4,000 and 3,600 respectively. You can only really use them in GPPs, and I don't really think there's massive incentive to get them into a lineup. While DeMar DeRozan at 8,500. I would have loved DeMar at 8,000. I would have thought he was a strong cash guy. At 8,500, I think there are better ways to go. Again, the Cavs have been much more improved defending that guard position recently. Small forwards, you've got CJ Miles at 3,800. He is averaging 9 points over his last three games and was absolutely atrocious the last time out. And then, of course, you've got LeBron James.
LeBron James!
He is at 12,500. That's a lot. Now, LeBron averages 56 points against the Raptors the last three times. He's averaging 52 in his last five games in total, but it's not enough at 12-5. And yeah, throw him into a GPP. We know he can get 75. We know he can get 80. And with 13 games on, with weird stuff happening, you could potentially get some of your cheap bargain guys in there around him. But in cash, I wouldn't want really much to do with LeBron at that sort of an elevated price. For as good as he is and as confident as we feel in what his floor is, just getting to 63 or 64 as almost a break-even point is a pretty tough thing to do. And I don't think that's the way you should be looking at it. In fact, this game is just a shit one from DFS in general. Larry Nance at 5,000, fouls, playing time, all those things restrict what he can do, while Pascal Siakam at 47. I just think there's limited upside and a low floor, and you know I hate that combination. I don't mind Serge Ibaka here, though. He's at 5,600. The play has increased 31 average over his last three. Not a bad guy to have a look at. While Jeff Green at 38, as I mentioned, if Korver and Hill are out, then potentially you can throw Green into a tournament setting. We've got Kevin Love also at 8,100, and I think that's too expensive. That's a $900 jump from last time for Love, and I just don't want anything to do with him at that price. The centers, Poeltl, Valanciunas, Tristan Thompson. JV's got a good record against the Cavs, but only averages 18 minutes per game in the last three times. He does average 30 FanDuel points, which is obviously excellent, but at 6,800, I want a guy that I feel more comfortable that's going to get 25 minutes against this team, and there could be issues if they're running Love at center, and maybe that can limit what JV can do. So not interested in him. Poeltl's at 4,100. I actually like Poeltl as a GPP guy. He averages over 28 points per game against the Cavs, which is obviously ridiculously good, but there is inconsistency with him, so using him in cash is probably not going to be the best way around it. Let's get stuck into the next game now. It's the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers. We have, actually, not yet, because I need to talk about the DraftKings side for that first game and see if there's anything interesting there. And to be honest, there's not. This game just is not an overly appealing fantasy or DFS one. Kevin Love at 7,400 is absolutely in play on DraftKings, and I can see using that. DeRozan at 76 has an extra level of appeal. Lowry is in a shit position at 84. That's a terrible price, I believe, on DraftKings. And similarly to how I mentioned on FanDuel, 4,800 for Jordy Clarkson. If George Hill is sidelined, then that becomes an interesting and pretty strong cash option. You could also consider Poeltl at 3,700, given how well he has played against Cleveland in the last couple of games against them. All right, now let's go to Brooklyn and Philadelphia. The Sixers are favored by 9. Of course, no Joel Embiid. Dario Saric has also been ruled out of this game, so that's going to really open it up for Ersan Ilyasova. At point guard, though, let's start with them. Markel Fultz is at 4,100 and Timothy John McConnell's at 3,500. I don't really see the upside in any of those guys there. While Spencer Dinwiddie at 5,000, he played 12 minutes last game and had 8 points. At 5,000, you're needing him to go for 25, 26, 27 points. And with the way they've been using him, it seems like an unrealistic expectation. At shooting guard, JJ Redick is at 5,000 and Marco Bellinelli's at 4,200. You can use them in tournaments. The one that I would use is Bellinelli because I save $800 there, and he's been putting up similar numbers to what Redick has been, and if you can save that $800, then I would absolutely do it, but he's not a high-priority guy. While Caris LeVert is crushing at the moment, getting lots of minutes, averaging over 30 in his last five games, but at 6,100, I feel like the upside is a little bit capped at that price. Give me 5,600, and I'd lock him in cash. At 61, I think he might be just a little bit too high. Well, D'Angelo Russell got the minutes back last game, dropped 35 points. He's at 7,100, and I absolutely do think that he is a GPP guy with significant upside, and you could consider him a cash guy. I probably wouldn't, but you could. Bob Cove is at 6,100. He is cranking out the numbers, and with Embiid out and now Šarić out, I actually think he's a pretty strong play. I think he's a cash option. He's a definite tournament guy. You feel always a little bit hesitant with using him in cash, but I think this is not a bad spot. Jumping Joe Harris is at 4,000, adding the Blue Swimmer at 45. They are GPP guys, while Damari Carroll at 5,500. The numbers have just fallen off a little bit for Damari, and I think there are better ways to deal with that. Amir Johnson, 4,600. Bigs against the Nets. We know that it's been a maxim all season. Amir played over 30 minutes the last time out for the Sixers. Only put up 20 points, which is not ideal, but he is an interesting GPP guy, mainly on the Embiid absence and the Nets matchup. I don't think you want to use him in cash because he could very easily put up 5 points and only play 20 minutes. Ersan's at 5,400, all about Ersan here. You can definitely use him in cash. Great tournament option as well. Well, Ben Simmons is at 9,900. He is cranking out the numbers at a high rate. It almost feels like a 50 guarantee. Not quite there. Perfect matchup for him as well. So I think he is a fairly strong option. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's at 75. Love what Rondae's been doing. I just think it just feels too high. He feels like a $6,500 player and not a $7,500 player. At center, Rashawn Holmes, absolutely disappointing, but still had 18 points in 17 minutes. We're going at over a point per minute. He's at 5,200 and he can actually get at a higher level. Centers against the Nets makes him a really strong GPP guy here. If they play him 25 and Amir 20, then he could easily exceed that value. But of course, cash value there is pretty tough. While Jarrett Allen really exploded last game, 29 points. He's at 5,300. Will they give him 30? Will they give him 22? The minutes have been pushing forward for Allen, so I don't hate using him, but I also don't have full confidence in using him. That makes him more of a tournament guy than a cash player. On DraftKings, LeVert at 5,900. I think he's in a pretty good spot for a tournament. While Jarrett Allen at 45, I'm all about that for cash. That's a really good spot. Simmons at 96 is also good. Covington at 6,000. Again, very similar to how it all looks on FanDuel. D'Angelo Russell at 7,300, less appealing than on FanDuel, but still there is something there, but nothing overly spectacular in looking at D'Angelo there. All right, let's go on to the next game now. We've got the Orlando Magic taking on the New York Knicks. Let's have a look at this one. The Knicks are favored by 1. The total is 210.5. This has got worrisome game written all over it in terms of minutes distribution, more from the Knicks side of things. We've got Enes Kanter as doubtful, Frankie Ntilikina as probable, Courtney Lee as probable, Michael Beasley as questionable, and then for the Magic, John Isaac is listed as questionable, while John Simmons has been ruled out. So a few injury scenarios there. The two questionable ones, we've got Beasley, which would open up maybe some minutes for Luke Kornet to play alongside Kylo Quinn. And if Isaac is out, that really opens up things for Mario Hezonja. Maybe some extra minutes for Wesa Wundu, not like that he's a real great DFS option, and more minutes for Rocket Rodney Purvis there. Also, if that's the situation. Let's look at this from a point guard point of view. Shelvin Mack has been getting fairly consistent run. He's at 4,900. So that price is a little bit disconcerting, but it's a great matchup against the Knicks. With the absence of Simmons, you feel more confident in Mack's playing time. So I think that he is not a bad cash guy to have a look at here. Trey Burke, consistently crushing it at 6,900. His numbers recently make you look at that and go, well, that's clearly going to be an easy bet. But I still have my concerns over his shooting, but it's been persisting for a long period of time. So I don't hate using Trey Burke. I hate that they bumped him $900, but I don't think that he's someone to completely steer clear of. While Manny Moutier at 4,300, I don't think you can get behind that. One guy who has been putting up consistently good numbers is DJ Augustin for the Magic. 5,500 for DJ. He had 33 in 37 minutes last game. The minutes are up. The production's fine. I think he's a very, very safe cash play and definitely someone you can use. Well, Ntilikina is not someone I want anything to do with, especially with Courtney Lee likely to play also. Timmy Hardaway is at 6,300. His minutes are fairly consistent. It's a good matchup for him. I think that he is in line. If you're going to ever use Tim in cash, it's probably the one to use him in, where a 30-point game shouldn't feel like anywhere close to a stretch. Courtney Lee, no thank you. At small forward, Awundu's at minimum salary. If you really want to get sexy, throw him into a GPP. Great matchup. He's just not a high producer. And over his last five games, he averages 19 points per 36 minutes, which is horrendously bad. His highest score for the year is 28. Look, the matchup is the only thing where you go, yeah, maybe. But even then, probably not. Mick Beasley's at 71. If he plays, which we don't know, then I'm all about him at 7,100. He's putting up numbers and getting a ton of shots. Well, Hezonja at 5,700. Love the matchup. Love the opportunity, especially if Isaac is out. I think he'd be a guy to lock in cash if John Isaac happens to be out. Cornette's at 3,600. Real opportunity if Beasley is out. I'd be all about him. I still think he's a good tournament option, but if Beasley's out, he's definitely a strong option there. While John Isaac at 5,000. Isaac is doing it in scoring. He'll do it defensively. If he plays at 5,000, I do like him as a tournament guy, especially given the matchup. Or as Gordon's at 8,100. Hasn't really been anywhere near that number, averaging only 27 over the last three. But of course, fantastic matchup against the Knicks. But at that price, we know Gordon's got a massive ceiling, but I also think for cash, his range of expected outcomes is like 28 points to 68 points, and that makes him a great tournament guy, but not a good cash player. At center, the Cock Monster, 5,500 for Kylo Quinn. Kanter unlikely to play. If Kylo Quinn's getting 25 minutes, then the chances of him getting 35-plus points are fairly high, so I do like him here. Nick Vucevic at 9,000 is in a fairly good spot as well. He's been cranking out the numbers regularly. That's a lot to spend, and I understand why you wouldn't want to do it, and I would take O'Quinn over Vuc because it saves me money, but I also feel pretty good that I'm going to get at least 38 points out of Vuc, almost at a minimum, which is a pretty good return for a $9,000 floor sort of a player. On DraftKings, you have Love Vuc at 85, Trey Burke at 66 is strong, the Cock Monster at 51 is ridiculously good, as is Beasley at 68 if he plays, Johnny Isaac at 38. Now, the doubt in him playing obviously is a concern, but at 3,800, you have to throw him into a GPP, because he could very easily bring home 30, 33 points there. Shelvin Mack also in a pretty good spot. DJ Augustin at 59, way less appealing than on FanDuel because that price is up. And Timmy Hardaway at 67, not as sexy a spot on DraftKings as on FanDuel. All right, let's crack on to the next game. Where are we looking now? We're going Atlanta Hawks and the Miami Heat. For the Hawks, DeAndre Bembry is listed as probable. Malcolm Delaney and Jalen Morris unlikely to play, while Damian Lee has signed a rest of season contract for the Heat. We know that everyone's okay there, just the white side bitching and moaning. The Heat are favored by 11.5. The total is 208, so there is rotation issues with Atlanta. There's blowout risk in this game, as many of these games will have. At point guard, Tyler Johnson's at 4,600. He has been extremely disappointing recently. I don't think you can use him in anything outside of a tournament, but point guards do play well against the Hawks, as do shooting guards. He's going to split some of his time there. As for the iron shoulder, Goran Dragic, 6,800. The risk of the blowout here makes you only want to use him in tournaments. It's a perfect matchup for him, but will he play 30 minutes or will he play 35? Or will he be able to take a step back? Isaiah Taylor at $6,000. He's the Hawks starting point guard. I think that's probably a little bit too high for Taylor. Good defense from the Heat, and Dragic as well makes him a little bit of a tougher guy to roster, but it's not a horrendous one. At shooting guard, Damo Lee, 4,400. DeAndre Bembry's return last game really did impact him. Whether that's the entire reason for his 9.8 point output, we don't know, but he is an option here. Clearly, negative matchup, only want to use him for GPPs, but he is likely to start again. The Dukes at 38, Wayne Ellington and Dwayne Wade at 54. Actually, don't hate using Wade here, but there is a risk that this is a rest situation for Wade on a back-to-back, so don't lock him in, but he could be a tournament guy, but just remember, this is a back-to-back for Miami. Justice Winslow's at 4,700. His numbers recently have been up. 29 average over the last three, 24 over the last five. Only want to use for GPPs, though really not feeling super strong there. While the artist formerly known as Torian Prince, his shot and his usage has been off lately. He's at 6,900. A bad, bad matchup. Josh Richardson is a terror defensively, and he along with the Heat, have been really impacting what opposition small forwards have been able to do all season. So a little bit of a tougher guy to use. While Richo himself at 6,400, a positive matchup for him, but I just worry that there's just not enough value in the floor for Richardson here, and the upside's probably not high enough. The Baptist, John Collins, 6,100. It's a higher price, clearly. He's been playing very well. He's averaging around 28 over the last three, which is not quite where it needs to be, but he does have 35, 40-point upside here, Collins. So he's a tournament guy, but I'm not really locked in for cash. Well, Jim Johnson, they've gone, screw you guys, we are bumping him to 7,000, and I want nothing to do with him at $7,000. It's just too expensive. He's been good, but 7,000 takes him well out of consideration. Kelly Olynyk at 7,200, also in a, that's a crazy, crazy price. It's a $900 price rise for Olynyk, even with Whiteside back. We know how well he's been playing, but his minutes have been down under 20 for the last two games, and I can't see how you can spend 7,200 on Olynyk unless you're just trying to get wild in a tournament, you know, and you're basing it on the matchup. The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman at 5,800. I love this for Dedman. He's averaging 30 over his last five, which is great value. He can give you a 40 pretty comfortably. I like him for cash. I like him for tournaments. While the Moose, Mike Muscala, is a pretty strong cash play. Not a great upside tournament guy, but I feel good about him getting me 22 or 23 most days. His minutes are solid. He can add in the blocks and get two or three blocks, which is a 6 to 9 point bonus on FanDuel, which is huge. So I do like him there. While Hassan Whiteside at 7,500. With his mouthing off bullshit that he's been doing, with his subpar play, with the way they've used him, with his poor conditioning, there's no way you can use him at 7,500. Well, I don't believe so. Anyway, over on DraftKings, I love the Undertaker at 57 and the Baptist at 5,400 is in a much better spot. So he's a much preferable option on DraftKings versus on FanDuel. Tyler Johnson at 41 gives you an extra level of appeal based on the matchup and how low that price is. While formerly the Iron Shoulder, Jim Johnson, Hassan Whiteside really dislike all their prices. Isaiah Taylor at 58 in a decent spot on DraftKings as well. All right, we're going to start cracking through these because there's a lot to get to, obviously. The Golden State Warriors versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. Big game. The Thunder are favored by 4.5, and the total is the Richie Beno.
2 for 2, 2, 2.
Injury news. Andre Iguodala, Kevon Looney are both doubtful. Looney was the starting center last game. Durant and Thompson are both probable, so they should be right to go. While Omri Caspi and Pat McCaw have been ruled out for the Warriors. So there's obviously an opening at starting center with Looney not there. We'll get to that in a sec. At point guard, Westbrook's at 11-7. Yep, all about Westbrook here. We feel really good about his ability to get 55 as a cash floor, 75 as an upper limit. Yeah, strong cash, strong tournament guy. Quinny Cook is at 6,200, and this guy just keeps cranking out the numbers almost every game. So, yeah, really, it is hard to leave him out. I think at 6,200, his upside is maybe a little bit curtailed, but he did have 40 last game against the Kings, which is a pretty nice. Well, sorry, not against the Kings. Was it the Kings? I'm trying to remember who the Warriors played last. No, it wasn't the Kings. It was someone else, and I've completely blanked on it. The Suns. But that is the Suns. Clearly a little bit of a different matchup there. 6,200. He's not a bad cash guy. Livingston not really interested, nor Fat Face Ray Felton. At shooting guard, Clay's at 6,400. And since returning, he's been pretty solid. But I'm not sure he's at a $6,400 mark. And I think you can do better. While Uncle P, Nick Young, is a minimum salary guy. With Iguodala not likely to play, with McCaw out. There are some minutes for Young. Now, he's been shithouse. He's averaging 8.5 points over the last three and 12 over the last five. But in a positive matchup for him, if for a guy who can weirdly get hot and have 15 points in a quarter, and the minutes are going to be there for Young, he has to be in your tournament pool as a minimum salary guy. You want nothing to do with him in any cash configuration, though. Paulie George, small forward, 8,100. I'm all about that for Georgie. I think a 40-point game should feel fairly comfortable. All four using him. While Durant's at 10-7, that's a really strong situation as well. Now, Durant, against his former team, hashtag revenge game, is averaging 39 over his last three games. Well down from where you want it to be, but you feel okay about him getting to 50 here, especially without Steph. Corey Brewer's shine on his star has faded. He's at 4,800 and I just don't see the value in that at all. Now, this is where the value could really open up. At power forward, Jordy Bell's at 38. Will he start in place of Kevon Looney? I'd say probably not, because Bell against Stephen Adams is not a good matchup. You want a big plodding body there, and that's likely going to be Zaza Pachulia. But Bell is going to get backup minutes at power forward. He's going to get backup minutes at center. And at 3,800, he can very easily have a 25 to 26 point game. So he is in play for tournaments. Mallow at 5,700 has been not good. I think that's the politically correct way of phrasing that, but he still does have some 50 point upside, so he is a tournament type of guy, but I don't love him, especially with Draymond there. Speaking of Draymond, 8,800 is too high of a price. I don't want anything to do with him at that salary. Dave West, Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant at 39 has a level of intrigue, a level of appeal that at that sort of a salary, I do think that you can consider him for tournaments. Now, Zaza is a guy that I do think will start. He's at 3,600. We've seen him have some weirdly big games this season. At 3,600, I think you do have to consider him a tournament guy. Now, of course, I'm guessing that he is going to be the starting center. It could be JaVale. It could be Jordan Bell. But I think it will be Zaza given the Adams matchup. And he gets 20 points, then he breaks your value. He goes through it. He could get you 30 points. It's probably a little bit of a stretch, but I think he's interesting enough to consider. While Steve Adams at 7,200, centers against the Warriors, normally it's a losing proposition, but Adams has played pretty well. 34 average over the last three games against Golden State. His recent output has been a little bit down. He's got 50 point upside and he's got a decent floor. So I don't think he's the worst center option out there. There are better ones. The Undertaker, Kylo Quinn. They're probably better value center plays, but Adams is definitely not someone to completely discount. Over on DraftKings, Westbrook at 11.8 and Paul George at 7.7, I think are super strong guys. Really, really good value for those guys. Durant at 11.2, probably not quite as good as he looks on FanDuel, while Clay at 66 is definitely in a worse spot on DraftKings than on FanDuel. Jordy Bell and Zaza, again, your tournament type guys. Uncle P at 4,300 takes a little bit of that GPP shine off because he's not sitting at that minimum salary price. Jeremy Grant again, 37. There is something there you can see, but nothing super spectacular for Jez. All right, let's get on to the next game. Now we're looking at the Washington Wizards and the Houston Rockets. John Wall should be back for this game. He missed the last game resting after that knee surgery, but he should return to action in this game. On the Houston side of things, we've got Chris Paul listed as questionable with that hip and the sore leg issue. Nene also questionable, but he's been in and out of the rotation anyway. But this is, you know, with the Rockets, there's always this up in the air stuff. And it's weird to say that with Mike D'Antoni. Like, how many minutes is he going to play Trevor Ariza? What's James Harden going to do? And Harden's played decently big minutes the last two games. So maybe he only plays 30-31 in this one. Capella, what happens with him? Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon. So there is some uncertainty here with Houston. I feel pretty comfortable that Chris Paul won't play, and that'll bump up some value there for Gerald Green. But I'm not 100% certain of that, but that's sort of the way I'm feeling with this game at the moment. At point guard, Wall is at $8,000. That's a pretty hefty chunk. He was good, though, in his first game back. Dropped 39 in that game. I think you have to consider him a GPP player, especially if Chris Paul is out, then the Rockets' point guard defense does drop off, and that will enable him to go for 40 or 42 there pretty easily. But I don't think you should be looking at John Wall in his second game back as a cash guy. I want nothing to do with Chris Paul at 8,200, even if he does play. I think minutes will be on the lower side. And then you got Satoransky at 5,200, which in a bench role is probably not going to be enough to consider him an option. As for Harden, he's at $11,000. He's only averaging 48 over his last five. He's definitely in slowdown mode. The minutes could be reduced. If you're going to use Jimmy, I think you have to only look at him as a tournament player. I don't think that at any other time in the year, if you saw $11,000 for Jim Harden, you'd go, bang, that is what I'm locking in for cash. Given where we're currently sitting, I don't think you can do it, just given the lower output that we're getting from him. Brad Beal's at 7,900. I think that there is almost no way he retains value there for cash, and that makes him maybe a tournament guy, but not a high one. While Eric Gordon's at 5,300. I like him as a tournament player here, especially if Chrissy Paul is out. I'd be all about using Gordo. If Paul plays, I think that there's a chance that Gordon doesn't get to that value, but I do like him if Chris is out. At small forward, we're looking at Trevor Ariza at 5,100, who was piss poor last game, but had a couple of decent performances. I don't really like the upside, and I don't like the floor with Trevor Ariza there. Otto Porter's at 7,500, who was putting up some pretty strong numbers with Wall out, but obviously Johnny's back. His production himself has dipped a bit, but the Wizards are one of those teams that is still pushing. They're trying to get themselves the best seed, but 7,500 for Otto Porter feels like the ceiling is really, really limited on that. Gerald Green at 38, all about it. All about Gerald Green, love it for tournaments, and I'd probably even consider it for cash because I do think they're going to give him 25 a night almost every game from here on out and push to 30 a lot of the time. In fact, over the last five games, he's averaging 30 minutes and averaging 26 points, so that feels like almost a no-brainer. Oubre's at 5,500, no thanks. Joe Johnson, PJ Tucker, also no thanks. Markieff Morris is at 5,500. The production's been a little bit limited from him. He did deal with an illness in one of those games, so that's dropped his recent average down. But John Wall returning takes a little bit of the usage away from Markieff, so he's not a super strong option. But I do think he's worth a tournament look, at least more than guys like Mike Scott, Ryan Anderson, or Luke Marmute, your other power forwards in this game. Clint Capella's at 7,300. I'm just bunching him in with a lot of these other Rockets guys. The go slow is on. The foot is off the gas, so to speak. So at 7,300, I just don't see the value. Marcin Gortat's an interesting one. The numbers are up. He's averaging 26 over the last five, which 26 at 4,400 is bang. I'm happy with that in cash. My level of concern with him is high, especially in a shit matchup against the Rockets. So if this was against a team like the Thunder, a team like the Pistons, I'd say, you know what? I'd feel all right with Gortat because I think that he'll go against these slower, bigger centers. Against Capella, a wiry guy that it's up and down, pick and rolls, Gortat could get creamed. And I think that there is a definite risk there of him not being used as much. You could use him for a tournament. I think his upside is fairly limited. I think even a 30-point upside is probably expecting a little bit too much for Gortat, but it's worth paying some attention to. Jan Mihinmi, no. Alright, let's flip it onto the DraftKings side of things. Wall's at 7,500. So I like that. I like 7,500 for John. I think he should be able to exceed that value over on DraftKings. You know, Beal at 72, also in a really good spot. Hate Harden at 11.7. Hate Chris Paul at 8,700. Want nothing to do with those guys. Otto at 6,700 also has a level of appeal, but I just feel like he's probably a little bit limited ceiling-wise. So that takes him out of tournaments. And look, maybe for cash, Otto could be a worthwhile guy to pay attention to. Gerald Green's at 5,500, which takes all of the value away from him, so I don't want anything to do with him. And Eric Gordon at 8,200, that is extraordinary. You want nothing to do with that. That is an absolutely bananas price. And I don't, even if Chris Paul is out, no. It's flummoxed me, that salary for Eric Gordon. Let's go on to the next one. We're talking Charlotte Hornets. We're talking Chicago Bulls. If you're unaware, Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine have been ruled out for the rest of the season for the Bulls. Paul Zipser is listed as doubtful in this one. We know Cody Zeller is out for the season for the Hornets. Jeremy Lamb is listed as probable in this one. The Hornets are favored by 5.5 points. And the total is 216.5 at point guard. Jaren Grant's at 4,500. You've got Campaign at 4,900. The way that they've been running those guys recently is almost splitting the minutes. In fact, Grant played 26 last game and had 28 points, whereas Payne only played 25. I think you can use either of them in tournament situations, but I don't feel strong about any of them for cash spots. Kemba Walker, 8,100. You love the matchup for Kemba. But he played 26 minutes last game as Steve Clifford went full. Let's spread the minutes right around everyone and everyone gets 20 plus minutes. So that's a real issue there for Kemba. He could very easily drop 50 on the Bulls' heads, but he could also have a 20-point game because Clifford decides to limit his minutes. So you don't think you want anything to do with him in cash? None whatsoever. But as a tournament guy, maybe. But I think if I was to lean one way, I would say that Clifford is going to go to the let's give these other guys some extra playing time over the final five games. At shooting guard, the sexy boy, Sean Kilpatrick. He is at 3,600. He dropped 23 points last game. He's not afraid to shoot. They're going to give him minutes, especially with Levine not there. So I think that he is a worthwhile GPP player. Malik Monk at 36, also the beneficiary of that Clifford minutes reduction last game. So Monk dropped 27. He was all across the box score. I like him at 3,600. I think you can't use him for cash, I don't believe, but for a tournament, sure. Especially if they go with that minute split route that they went last game. Nick Batum's at 6,500. He is averaging 18 over his last five, so you know that that's a no from me. While Justin Holiday at 3,700, he's starting, but he looks unlikely to ever exceed 20 minutes again. Therefore, his ceiling is significantly depressed. Mick Kidd-Gilchrist, 3,800. He was the only player to go over 30 minutes last game for the Hornets. He had 28 points in 32 minutes. He has been atrocious for the majority of this season, but this matchup is as sexy as it gets. 3,800, he needs 20 points to give you value. That's not a hard ask at all. I would still lean GPP, but maybe Kidd-Gilchrist could be a cash guy. That just feels yuck coming out of my mouth, though. The Hammer, Denzel Valentine, 4,800, really doing very little at the moment. And again, this Bulls team, it's just so hard to rely upon anyone. Well, David Nwaba, he had 30 in 20 minutes. You can't expect that. He is not a point per minute guy, let alone a 1.5 points per minute guy, which is what he was last game. So at 4,000, maybe in a tournament, but there's just so much uncertainty with so many guys on this Bulls team. Well, Jez Lamb's at $6,000, and that's way too expensive. At power forward, Lauri Markkanen's at 5,200. He dropped in 29 points in 25 minutes last game. You know he's going to get his shots up. He basically said as much. Like, why were you so aggressive? He said, because I don't think I'm going to get enough minutes. I've just got to get this shit going as quickly as possible. That's an Australian paraphrase. 5,200 for Lowry. I like him. I think if you are desperate for a cheapish power forward, you can use him. But he's not a strong cash guy, but you could do it. Frank the Tank's at 3,900, just absolutely putrid from him recently, while Punch Bob's at 6,100. Bob Portis is giving you about 27 a night, and that's nowhere near where you want for 6,100, but it's a consistent 27. So I don't dislike using him in a cash situation, but he's far from the best guy out there. Noah Vonleh's at 4,700. With Felizio back, with Lopez in and out, like, we just don't know what his playing time is going to be like. I don't really see a massive upside there. Felizio at 41, Dwight at 89. I don't think he's going to play enough. That's the problem. Well, Bill Hernan Gomez is at 46. Bill dropped in 34 points in 22 minutes last game. He's averaging 20 over his last five. It is a super positive matchup against the Bulls for Bill Hernan Gomez. Now, if they give him 25 minutes and Dwight 25 minutes or 23 minutes or whatever they do, then Hernan Gomez smashes through that. If they decide to go to Dwight 32 and Bill 16, then that's a tough one to ask for. I think they're going to go more of the give him 20, 22, 23 minute route, and that can give him value at 4,600. Prefer guys like Cock, prefer guys like The Undertaker at center, but Bill is in that mix. I think cheap center is going to be the way to go on this slate of games. Let's look at this over on DraftKings. Bill's at 3,800, so there's a ton of value in Hernan Gomez there. Jerron Grant at 4,000, again, him and Campaign, but the difference in price between those two guys on DraftKings is stark. 4,000 for Grant, 5,500 for Payne. Now, I imagine Payne will continue to start, but with the way the minutes have been split recently, Grant is by far the better value, but neither of them are solid in cash. While the sexy boy, Sean Kilpatrick, is at 3,400. Strong, strong tournament guy to take a look at. Kidd-Gilchrist at 36, you could also have a look at. Hate Dwight at 91. Hate Kemba at 88. Love Punch Bob at 5,800. Really think that's a solid, solid option for Portis there, and he should be able to get that even for cash. So that's a really good option for him, or for you to use him over on DraftKings. Let's go on to the next game now. We've got the Boston Celtics. They are taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. The line is the Bucks favored by 2, and I don't know why, and the total is 207.5 points. Malcolm Brogdon, Matty Dellavedova, we're not expecting them to play here. Shane Larkin has been ruled out for the next two games due to an illness. Terry Rozier is probable with his ankle issue, while Thon McCur is questionable with that groin that's caused him to miss, I think, the last three games, which gives more minutes to Tyler Zeller and a little bit more stability to the Muppet John Henson. At point guard, Rozier's at 7,300. You should feel really confident you're going to get 30 out of Tez with a 50-point upside. Tournaments and cash absolutely in play. The other guy who's been killing it at the moment is Bledsoe. Now, it's a tough matchup against the Celtics for point guards. We've seen that be the case all season. He's at 7,700, but he is averaging 45 over the last five, 52 over his last three. A really, really strong option here, Eric Bledsoe, I believe. Brandon Jennings, hashtag street hunger. No. At shooting guard, Jaylen Brown's at 5,600. He has been, I guess, a little bit underwhelming, as he's been for the majority of this season from a fantasy point of view. But there's still some GPP upside there, while Chris Middleton was fairly putrid on court against Denver, but still dropped in 31 points despite shooting 22% from the field. He's at 7,500. I think he's worth a tournament look, but nothing more than that. Jace Terry, Tone Snell, Sterling Brown, Abdul Nadir, just an absolute cornucopia of crap shooting guard options there. At small forward, Yanni, 11-2. He fouled out last game, but not before he dropped 40 points. I think that looking at Adetokunbo here, he is a really strong option. I'd prefer him as opposed to spending 12-5 on LeBron. I think that's a deep, and I'd prefer to spending 11,000 on Harden. The Bucks still need to work themselves into their seeding. The Celtics are pretty much locked in at the 2 seed, but Joe Prunty, following on from Jason Kidd, he doesn't give Giannis time off. He just plays him as many minutes as almost humanly possible. So Yanni is a fairly safe option there. Jayce Tatum's up to 6,600. The numbers have been encouraging from Tatum recently, but I don't feel super good about him at 6,600. There are better ways to spend that cash. Well, Jabari Parker, really, really good stuff from Jabari last game. 55 points in 39 minutes. Both of those numbers, season highs. At 4,800, if Giannis doesn't foul out, does Jabari get those minutes? No. But he was on track for more minutes than he'd been seeing usually, so I like him as a tournament guy here. And if you're getting desperate, maybe you throw him into cash. He is averaging 28 over his last five, obviously buoyed by that 55-point performance, but there were some other decent ones in there, so I don't think that he is a disgusting cash play at all. The Muppet, 4,900, John Henson. Yeah, like it. Especially if McCurr is out. He's averaging 26 over his last three, 28 over his last five. Continually seems to be underpriced. Now, it's a shit matchup. Centers do struggle against Al Horford and Boston, but Henson has been putting up consistent numbers. His lowest score in his last five is 23, which is a pretty bloody good floor for a $4,800 guy. Happy to use the Muppet here. While Marcus Morris, not a Marcus Morris fan, but I like him at that price. He's getting his shots up. He's taking on extra responsibility with Kyrie and Marcus Smart out. At 5,900, I think that he's not far off being a cash guy. Baines is at 3,700, no. Al Horford at 7,000. Centers against the Bucks used to be a real winning strategy. It hasn't quite been so much over the last month or two. Horford at 7,000 has been up and down. I would only want to use him in a tournament, while Greggy Munro.
As Greg runs in, we realize this could get dangerous.
4,800 for Munro. Against his former team, if you believe in that. He did very well when he was a member of the Suns in that game, but he did play 31 minutes and drop 38 points. At 4,800, Brad Stevens is not going to be going the old Jay Triano, I'm the head coach, but my only job here is to Dutch fight on my players. Brad Stevens is not going to be doing that, and you're not going to be seeing 31 minutes out of Munro, I don't think. I could be 100% wrong, but I just don't see the value here in Munro at that. So at 4,200, yeah, sure, that's a nice cash play. At 48. Yeah, and where's the upside? I don't really see it for Greggy in this one. Tyler Zeller, 3,600. Zeller's averaging 24 points over the last three. He had 23 last game, relatively consistent. If McCurr is out, I don't hate, if you want to go super cheap at center, get 21 or 22 out of Tyler at 3,600. That's a good win. And then you can get your guys like Yanni in, and you can take some other high-priced flyers, I guess, in some other situations. So there are some other options there, but it's more dependent on what McCurr, or he ends up playing. On DraftKings, Yanni, Rozier, Al Horford, Jabari Parker. I like all four of those guys as cash and tournament guys. Bledsoe is less appealing on DraftKings because he's almost at 8,000, 7,900. Middleton at 8,000 is not for me. And Marcus Morris at 64 is pushing too high. The Muppet also at 54 is probably getting a little bit too high, especially with only a $50,000 salary cap. The value is taken well off there as opposed to how it is on FanDuel. Zeller at 3,600 still has that level of appeal that we've seen from him in recent games. Let's go on to the next one now. We've got the Portland Trailblazers, the Dallas Mavericks. Where are we? Portland is favored by 8.5 and the total is 208.5. We know that Eddie Davis is out for Portland. For Dallas, there's a lot of question marks. We've got Dwight Powell, Salah Mejri, and Dirk Nowitzki, all questionable, all big men, obviously. So there's opportunities there for guys like John Motley, Nerlens Noel, and any of those guys that end up playing. JJ Barea has missed the last handful of games. He's been upgraded to probable with personal issues, so he should be ready to go. The Blazers favored by 8.5. The total is 208.5. Let's talk point guards. Let's talk Dame Lillard. He's at 9,700, averaging 50 over his last five. Really, really safe. We know the Blazers have to go balls out pretty much every game from here on out to try and get themselves not only locked into the playoffs, but locked into a strong seed. So he is good for cash. No problems there, whatever. Dennis Smith at 6,000. Well, Smith had been playing like 26 a night, and then last game against Cleveland played 33 minutes. I think 6,000 is too high. I love what Smith can do, and if he was playing 33 a night, I'd be all about it. But if he plays 26, I think at 6,000, it's pretty tough to rely upon him, especially against a team that's been consistently one of the hardest for point guards to do anything against all season. Barea and Ferrell really don't move my needle either. At shooting guard, CJ McCollum, 7,700. The numbers for him recently have been very, very strong. I think that he is a solid cash guy as well. I'd prefer Lillard over him if I've got the extra 2,000. But I could honestly see you using both of these guys in a cash lineup. Their floor is strong. This is a team that needs to win. It needs every win. And these two guys drive everything. So I think that he is worth looking at. Pat Connaughton's at 3,700, and you don't need to care about that. The pencil, Harrison Barnes, 6,500 for Barnesy, averaging 32 over the last five, had a good 40 game against Cleveland last time out, which is obviously good, but I'm not sure how high his upside is. No, let's scratch out. It's not high at all. His highest score this year is only 46, and that's not good for this guy who's a number one option. Is his floor strong enough? I think his floor's not bad, actually. I think that you should be looking at, you know, is 30 a realistic expectation? Yeah, and that's not far off where it needs to be, so I don't think he's a horrendous cash option. Evan Turner at 47, I hate that price for Turner. Yes, he's getting extra minutes with Mo Harkless out, but at 4,700, where's the upside? And the floor's not high enough to even really consider him as some sort of good option. Dorian Finney-Smith is starting, but you shouldn't care. And Doug McDermott at 3,700. At power forward, Dwight Powell at 4,300 and Dirk at 4,700. Things can change with both of these guys depending on how those injuries go, but I still don't see Carlisle pushing any of them into the high 20s. He'll just throw Jalen Jones in. He'll just throw John Motley in. He'll just give 20 minutes to Mejri if he plays. So for Powell and Dirk, I don't really see the value there. The Chief.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
El-Farouq Aminu's at 6,100. That takes just so much of the value away, having him at that sort of a price. So, yeah, look, he played well last game. 30 points. It's still not enough. So maybe into a tournament, definitely not for cash. While Maxi Kleber's another one of those guys who could really benefit. Look, if you get Dirk, Mejri, and Powell all out, you're going to get 30-plus minutes out of Maxi most likely. At 3,700, it looks super appealing. He's up and down, but if he's forced into those bigger minutes, then at 3,700, I don't think it's a bad cash option, but otherwise he's more of a tournament play at this spot. At center, Nurk is at 8,400. I just hate that price for Nurkic. We know he'd been playing fairly well. It was a little bit disappointing last time out, but he is definitely worth a squeeze, especially for tournaments. Zachy Collins at 39 could take over some of Ed Davis's minutes, but last game it was Myers Leonard and Caleb Swanigan that were in there, so I think very little interest there. While Nerlens at 5,300, you could really see a big opportunity for Noel, especially depending on those absences of those other big men, and he would be an interesting tournament guy that may actually swing towards cash, depending on how everything checks out with the other guys and whether they're playing or not. Let's have a look at this one over on DraftKings. Lillard, McCollum, and Barnes, I think, are all excellent cash options here. And Nurkic at 71 is a great tournament guy. And you could even say, you know what, I'm happy with him at cash. So there's a lot of value opening up on DraftKings. Aminu and Smith are in much worse positions, while Nerlens at 47 could blossom into a strong cash guy, depending on the statuses of Nowitzki, Mejri, and Dwight Powell there. All right, let's go on to the next game. We're going to be talking Los Angeles Lakers and the Utah Jazz. Brandon Ingram is out. Lonzo Ball is doubtful. So that's opening up some value there for the Jazz. No real injuries to talk about. Howell Neto is still out, but he wasn't going to be an impactful DFS guy really whatsoever. Let's talk point guards now. Ravishing Rick Rubio is at $8,000. Yeah, it's a good matchup. That's a lot for Rubes. He dropped 41 against the Timberwolves because he shot the shit out of it. Yeah, not really certain at 8,000 that'd be all about Rubio. I think that caps a lot of his upside and the floor is not ideal. So I don't like that for Rick there. But of course, the Jazz are one of those teams that need to go balls out every game. The other point guards we're looking at, Alex Caruso, Tyler Ennis, although Caruso's a shooting guard, so we'll get to him in a sec. Ennis at 3,500. He had 22 points last game. A lot of that came from defensive stats, which are probably unlikely to be able to be replicated. He is not a strong option. Shooting guard, though, I think there's value here. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 6,100. He's been shit the last few games, but we know from his history, a string of shit games in a row, there's always going to be a big one come up. A great, great tournament play, especially with Ingram and Ball out. And even a cash option, while Caruso at minimum salary, he played 30 minutes last game, only 18 points, but he can very, 18 points is fine at 3,500. I think he's all right to use in cash. Joshy Hart's at 45, a really disappointing game last time, but there is an opportunity for him to play big minutes here. At 4,500 for the Hitman, I think that you can use him definitely in tournaments. And I think there is some thought that as a cash option, it could actually work. Whereas the Donovan Mitchell's at 8,100, that just feels high. He's averaging 31 over his last three, which is nowhere near where it needs to be. 37 over the last five, getting closer. 8,100's high though. He can easily get a 50. We know that. I would use it in a tournament, but I just don't like it in general. Small forwards, Jingling Joe's at 6,500, been a little bit under that recently. I think that Ingles is not a bad cash, but I think his floor is relatively solid here. Power forwards, we're looking at Derek Favors at 5,800. The numbers have been improved for Favors lately, but still not good enough for me to really love that. While the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma's at 6,500, should get another start at small forward, should get a ton of minutes. He played 39 last game, wasn't good for him, only had 22 points, but previously he'd been able to get you 35 or 36 relatively comfortably. So I think that Kuzma's a decently strong option here. Randall at 82, that's too expensive. Against the Jazz team, it's way too much. And Jay Crowder at 47 has been really bad lately, 18-point average over his last five. I don't really see much changing. At center, Ivica Zubac, 3,500 minimum salary, averaging 22 over the last three, had 28 in the last game. We've seen Brook Lopez go from a 34, 33-minute guy down to 25 or 26 in the last two games, with Fry and Zubac playing more. So that's something for us to pay attention to there. Ivica, if he gets 28, which he got last game, at 3,500, bang, that's great value. That's fantastic value. You're talking about 6, 7x type of value. They're over 7x value, which is excellent. So I think that he's in play here, especially if this pattern, which we've seen the last two games, continues. Gobert at 8,800, not really getting anywhere near that recently. So I don't, that's a big, big price, especially with a lot of good cheap centers around. While Lopez at 6,900.
Giggity!
The way the minutes are trending, that's too expensive for Brookie. While Channing Frye at 3,600, not interested in that one either. Let's look at this on DraftKings. Ravishing Rick's at 68. Now, that is brilliant. All about that. That is a huge difference between FanDuel and DraftKings. All about Rubes over on DraftKings. And KCP at 56. I can't love that enough as well. Great value. Gobert down to 7,500. Now, that brings it into consideration. You go, well, shit, it's 7,500. I can easily see Gobert doing that. 88 on FanDuel? Probably not. So Gobert clearly in play. Over on DraftKings. Mitchell at 76 is in a better spot, but still not my favorite one. Well, I hate Randall at 81. And the future MVP is at 7,800. I don't really want anything to do with that either. Low ceiling, low floor, I believe, at that sort of a salary, not a good spot. Joshy the Hitman Hart also at 6,100 on DraftKings. That takes away a fair chunk of what his potential value could be. We're getting there, guys. It's been a long one. The Indiana Pacers and the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets are favored by 3.5, and the total is 215.5 points here. Gaz Harris.
Nice, Gary!
He is out. Wilson Chandler, old baby neck. He is questionable. for the Nuggets. Pace is a pretty good injury-wise. So let's talk about the point guards in this one. Daz Collison's at 6,200, a supremely positive matchup for Daz going up against the Blue Arrow. But at 6,200, with how he's currently being used, low floor, low upside, probably not going to happen for me. Corey Joseph at 3,800, I don't really like that either. While the Blue Arrow himself, 7,500. A shit matchup. Point guards against the Pacers has been a real negative all season, whether that's Joseph, Collison, or Oladipo doing the defense. They're all pretty bloody good, and it has been an issue. Murray's been getting a lot of minutes, averaging 39 over his last five and giving you 36 points per game, which is not bad at 7,500. I think that the upside is a little bit limited. I actually feel okay about the Blue Arrow's floor here, so that's worth, it is worth having a look at. And I don't think that it's a horrendous cash option. At shooting guard, Farton Will Barton, 7,200. Just infuriating to watch this guy. I think that price is probably getting a little bit too high, but he's always a player to consider in your tournaments because he can pop off at any time. We've seen that. While Oladipo, just an absolute monster, 8,900, getting defensive numbers out the wazoo. Cash guy, maybe. Yeah, definitely don't hate it. I think getting 40 from him should feel, you should have a level of confidence in that. And I think he's worth going at. Dev Harris at 3,800. Yeah, I don't even know why I mentioned him, to be honest. Bojan Bogdanović, Mr. GPP, he's at 5,000. Cash, forget it. Tournaments, yeah, he can have 40. He can have 14. That's the life of Bojan Bogdanović. Babinex at 5,400. Pass, pretty hard. Lance Stevenson, Torrey Craig, Little Dog Glenn Robinson, no. Torrey Craig, actually, maybe if Babinek's out, but last game he played 36 minutes in an overtime game and had 22 points, and yeah, that's fueled by two blocks there. I don't really see it for him. The Deuce Young was piss poor last game against the Clippers, 5,900 for Young here. Yeah, I don't mind it. Good matchup for him. I think he's a relatively solid cash play. While Paulie Millsap went off last game, 51 points in that game against the Bucks. Supreme record against the Pacers as well, with a 50-point average in the last three times. Granted, some of that with Atlanta. At 71, I think all of it with Atlanta, honestly. 7,100 for Millsap. It is a negative matchup. They have been pretty impressive against power forwards recently, the Pacers. But I think Millsap is an interesting GPP guy, and I could consider him cash. I don't think it's a stretch to consider that a cash option. Mason Plumlee, Trey Lyles, Trevor Booker, DeMontis Sabonis, no thanks. At center, Miles Turner, 6,600. I should almost use this for Miles Turner.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
It feels more appropriate for him, actually, at the moment than the Chief. 6,600 for Miles. Great game last game. There is absolutely no way you can use him in cash, but it is a positive matchup for him. Yeah, pick and pops, bringing Jokic out to the three-point line. He's played well against Jokic in Denver before. A great tournament guy, a shitful cash guy. As for Jokic himself, 10-7. He has to play big minutes. He has to do everything for this Nuggets team to keep winning, and I like it at 10-7. He's averaging 62 over his last three. Eesh, that's really high. Getting to 50, you should go, I feel like he's going to get to 50, and I feel like he's got 67, 70-point upside. Love it for tournaments. Really good for cash. Also, big Nick Jokic. On DraftKings, Jokic at 98 is a no-brainer, I think. The Blue Arrow at 65 joins him, while Miles Turner at 6,000. I want to say cash, but I know the concern, but the matchup makes me go, yeah, maybe at 6,000 I can use him for cash, while Paulie Millsap at 67 is a strong, strong tournament play. On the flip side, Oladipo's at 9,200, and that makes me just recoil a little bit, maybe a little bit too high. Definitely could consider it, given how well he's been playing, but that price is a pretty hefty one. Let's go on to the second last game of the day. The Sacramento Kings and the Phoenix Suns. This should be excellent basketball to watch. Can't wait to see what happens in this one. Injury-wise, Zach Randolph, Kostas Koufos, I don't know if they're injured anymore. Randolph just hasn't played. He's just listed as inactive. They don't say he's injured. He's not on injury reports. Koufos has just sat out the last two games. Does this mean that they won't play again for the rest of the season? Maybe. Maybe not. We literally don't know. For the Suns, TJ Warren is doubtful, but Lord Alfred Payton, Alex Len, and Devin Booker are all questionable. And then for Sacramento, we need to check on the status of Scal Labissiere, who is questionable with his ankle that he sprained last game. This has got shit show written all over it in terms of playing time, minutes, rotations, injury ups and downs. There's just bullshit happening all over the place, but there is still some value with some of the guys. De'Aaron Fox at 4,800. Brilliant matchup. Looked okay last game. I actually think for cash, you can actually consider him. He's going to get 25 against this team. He's averaging 29 over his last three. He had 26 against the Suns this year. I think that at 4,800, he is fine. Frankie Mason at 39, who'd been playing really well, has dropped off a bit. He's more tournament-y. Alfred Payton, no way. Forget that shit. Tyler Ulis, 4,900. Tons of minutes. If Payton and Booker are out, you're all about Ulis in cash. If they play, nothing to do with it. A simple equation. Bogdan Bogdanovic has stepped his play up recently. 4,600 for Bogdan. He's at 26-point average over the last three, which is perfect at that number. He has been up and down. This matchup is fantastic against the team that drafted him. So there is something for us to pay some attention to there with Bogdan, but more of a tournament guy. Devin Booker at 76 and Budrick at 64. Hield has been excellent lately with a 31 average, but at 6,400, is that taking away the upside there? Probably. But I could still see Hield being a cash guy. Well, Booker at 76, we don't know if he's going to play. You'd only want to use that in tournaments. Troy Daniels at 3,900 shit the bed last time because Daniel House decided to go off for some reason. So I don't think we should be getting overly interested in him in cash. But if Booker is ruled out, I'd be okay with going back to the Daniels well. I don't think that House is going to be able to put up those numbers again. At small forward, TJ Warren, doubtful, so he's not going to play. So we're looking at Josh Jackson at 73, probably the only real cash guy, maybe outside of De'Aaron Fox in this game. I feel really good about what Josh Jackson can do. Justin Jackson, Vince Carter, no. Power forwards, Bender at 4,200, no thank you. Labissiere at 57, we know that he annihilated Phoenix last season. Some really, really monster games from him. As almost as good a matchup as you can get for Labissiere, but we just don't know if he's going to play. Could be an he could literally have 45 here against the Suns, and that would make him an excellent tournament guy. But for cash, you can't. Marquise Chris, he's killing it. 5,200. Recommending Chris as a cash guy is a really tough thing to do, and you get the pins and needles happening when those words go to come out of your mouth. But I think you almost have to consider him a cash guy, and it feels pretty dirty, but it's an option. Will Cauley-Stein's at 6,300. Foul trouble limited him last game, but this matchup is great. It's excellent. So I think he's a good tournament guy. The big source, Alex Len. No. Big Jack Cooley, who was really good last game. He's at 3,700. Cooley, he gets those rebounds. It's a positive matchup. That would be an interesting one to throw into a tournament. But probably not. But he was good. He's really aggressive on the rebounds. He just the minutes, who just knows what they're going to do on a nightly basis. On DraftKings, Booker at 73. There is some tournament upside there, of course. Joshie Jackson, we're really into with TJ unlikely to play. Then the value opens up potentially with De'Aaron Fox at 5,000. Not as good as on FanDuel, but still something there. Bud at 64, looks okay. Labissiere at 55, Chris at 59. That's maybe getting a little bit too high to consider him for cash. The prices are all quite a bit higher on DraftKings for this game. It is just going to be an absolute shit show of a game to watch, though. Unless we get the we don't have. Oh, if Papa G was playing, we could have got the Dragon Bender, Georgios Papagiannis punch-ons that used to happen all the time. That's one of the big disappointments that Papagiannis is no longer in the NBA. No longer in a situation where he's going to get minutes because he's currently in Portland. The last game, the San Antonio Spurs, the LA Clippers. Injury-wise, Kawhi is out. No surprise there. Everything else is pretty much a full go. Both these teams are going to be ballsing to the wall, so this is a good matchup to attack for some cash value potentially. Pat Mills is at 44. His numbers have been improved lately. I don't have full confidence in him doing it on a consistent basis, so he's more of a tournament, but even then, he's a low upside guy, so there are better ways around that. DeJounte Murray at 6,000. I don't hate that as cash. I think that you can get a level of confidence in 28 points from him, which is a good floor for cash. Plus, if he has one of those nights where he scores, which doesn't happen often, or has one of those big three block nights, again, which can happen with him, I like it. Austin Rivers at 58, love what Rivers is doing. I like this for cash quite a bit. It's a shit matchup against San Antonio, but given the fact that he's under 6,000, I think it's absolutely in play. Tone Parker and Sendarius Thornwell, no way. Shooting guard, Lou Williams, 6,700. The numbers have been so far down for Lou with everyone back, so I think you could only use him as a tournament guy, and that's it. Dan Green at 49, no, not really interested in that. Ty, the list manager, Wallace, is up to 5,200. Love what Wallace is doing. Hate it at that price. No interest at all. Small forward Rudy Gay's at 41. I'm all about Rudy Gay here. The minutes are up. His lowest score in his last five is 20. He won't do what he did last game, which was score 22 points on 69% shooting, but I feel good that he's going to at least break through 20 FanDuel points. Kyle Anderson at 48 is doing jack shit, so not interested there. Well, the Rooster up at 6,000 shot horrendously last game, had 24 points in 32 minutes, was 1 of 9 from the field, but still racked up 24 points. At 6,000, I like the Rooster here. At power forward, the table, Montrezl Harrell at 3,900. That feels like someone's playing a prank on me at that price. His upside's not supremely high. The Spurs have good big men defense. But with the way that he's been playing, getting 20 points feels like easy, doesn't it? Surely he can do it. We'll see. LaMarcus at 9,400. We love what LaMarcus is doing. And getting 50 does not feel like a stretch in the slightest. So I like him as a cash guy. Toby Harris also crushing. The factor I have against Harris here is the matchup with the Spurs, which is an issue. But he's been just pushing through nearly every matchup. But I'd probably fade him given the opposition. At center, Pau at 5,100. No. Boban, no. DeAndre Jordan at 7,200. Minutes are well down for Jordan. Under 30 average over his last five. Under 30 point average. Bad matchup. I don't think this is one that you should be looking at DeAndre Jordan as an option. On DraftKings, LaMarcus, the Rooster, and Austin Rivers, especially Gallinari and Rivers, their prices are so low that I don't think it's really hard to avoid putting them in. Rivers at 5,300 is ridiculous. The Rooster at 51, both of those guys look awesome, while Aldridge at 8,900 is in a good spot. Lou Williams, not a chance, way too high on DraftKings, and DeAndre at 82 is one of the worst options out there. All right, that does all of the FanDuel and DraftKings stuff. Draft Stars in Australia hasn't put their slate up yet, but we'll go through Yahoo and Moneyball. On Yahoo for tournaments, Rudy Gobert, the Cock Monster, Kylo Quinn, Rashawn Holmes, Ersan Ilyasova, Damian Lee, Jaren Grant, Nerlens Noel, Sexy Boy Sean Kilpatrick, David Nwaba. And for cash and tournaments, we're looking at Mike Muscala, Jordy Clarkson, Greggy Munro, Patty Mills, The Muppet, The List Manager, John Isaac, The Table, Jarrett Allen, DJ Augustin, Bill Hernan Gomez, Isaiah Taylor, Karis LeVert, Paulie George, Oladipo, Vucevic, Aldridge, and Jokic. On Moneyball tournaments, Ravishing Rick Rubio, Trey Burke, James Johnson, Budrick Hield, Amir Johnson, John Isaac, Jabari Parker, The List Manager, Ty Wallace, Sexy Boy, Sean Kilpatrick, Mike Muscala, Big Sauce, Alan Williams. For cash options, we're looking at Rudy Gay, The Table, Montrezl Harrell, De'Aaron Fox, Ersan Ilyasova, Rashawn Holmes, Bill Hernan Gomez, The Rooster, The Undertaker, Paul Millsap, The Blue Arrow, The Don, Paul George, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kevin Durant, Nick Jokic, and Gianni Antetokounmpo. All right, guys. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star rating and a review goes a long way to helping the show out. You can also find us on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. And on YouTube, go give a thumbs up, go give a subscription, and leave a comment below. There is also the Patreon at patreon.com/redrock_Beeble, which coincidentally is also my Twitter handle. I'm Josh Lloyd, the lead fantasy analyst at Basketball Monster. Keep listening all through the rest of the season, regular season, postseason, off-season. This podcast never stops. There's going to be plenty of content for all you guys, and always happy to take your questions over on Twitter as well. Check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, LockedOnSports.com, and Locked On NBA Net on Twitter. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Yusuf Nurkic.